How can we reimagine the future of waste? Tune in to the newest episode of Sustainably Speaking to learn about the role forward-thinking policy goals and priorities can play in protecting our environment while also preserving the benefits of plastics in society.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, November 16th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Who created Bitcoin? It's a question that's been shrouded in mystery from the start, and it's persisted throughout the digital currency's surge in value and growing legitimacy. But a lawsuit in Florida could finally unmask the true identity of the person or people who invented the first digital currency, and it could decide who is entitled to a stockpile of Bitcoin worth roughly $64 billion. On today's show, WSJ cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna joins us to discuss the case and what revelations from it could mean for the Bitcoin community. That's after these headlines. Ohio is suing Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook. The lawsuit, filed by Ohio's Attorney General on behalf of Meta's investors and the state's public employee retirement system, says the company misled the public about how it uses its algorithm and how its products affect children. Plaintiffs are seeking to recoup more than $100 billion in damages as a result of a drop in Meta's share price. The stock fell after the Wall Street Journal's Facebook file series revealed, among other things, the company knew its photo-sharing app Instagram was harmful to young users, particularly teenage girls. A spokesperson for Meta said the suit is without merit and that the company will defend itself. California says it's reached an agreement with Amazon over how the company notifies its warehouse workers and local health agencies about COVID-19 outbreaks. The settlement, which still has to be approved by a court, requires Amazon to end practices that California said concealed the number of COVID cases at the company's work sites. Going forward, Amazon will have to tell California workers the exact number of new COVID cases in their workplaces within one day and notify health authorities within two. The company is also required to pay $500,000 that will be put toward further enforcement of the California consumer protection laws. We report exclusively that Italian authorities are investigating the 2018 takeover of a drone maker by a Hong Kong-registered company they say is a front for the Chinese government. Alpi Aviation's drone technology was used by the Italian military in Afghanistan. Authorities believe shortly after the takeover, Alpi's know-how and tech began to be transferred to a new production site in China without the knowledge of the Italian government or European authorities. Analysts say this fits a pattern by China of setting up private shell companies to act as fronts to purchase firms with specific tech that other governments wouldn't allow Beijing to purchase. Alpi denied it violated any laws on transferring strategic information and tech out of the country and said the sale was transparent. And buy a dozen books, get an NFT free. Entrepreneur and business author Gary Vaynerchuk racked up more than 1 million pre-orders of his upcoming book by offering a non-fungible token to anyone who purchased 12 print copies. Fans of Vaynerchuk are hoping the tokens that come with the book will be as lucrative as his NFT collection called V-Friends. The total value of those topped $500 million on Friday. Demand for the book left the publisher HarperCollins scrambling to find extra printing plans amid supply chain disruptions and an already busy fall book season. All right, coming up, who is Satoshi Nakamoto, the mysterious creator of Bitcoin? It could be up to a Florida jury to decide. We'll explain after the break.
The world needs software to work perfectly. So Dynatrace combines cloud observability and AI ops to help teams simplify cloud complexity, operate more efficiently, and drive better business outcomes. See how at Dynatrace.com.
Bitcoin has seen its value skyrocket. It's been the subject of increased regulation and both praise and mockery for its impact on the financial world. But who created the digital currency is a mystery that's eluded the crypto world since the very beginning. Little is known about Bitcoin's inventor or inventors, aside from the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. In 2016, an Australian man named Craig Wright claimed to be the mysterious Satoshi, but many in the Bitcoin community remain skeptical. Now a jury in Florida will be asked to unravel the mystery and decide who's entitled to a massive Bitcoin fortune. Joining us to discuss the case and break down what it means for the crypto community is our cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Hi, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Paul, let's start at the very beginning. What do we know about the creation of Bitcoin?
So what we do know is that on October 31st, 2008, on a cryptographer's mailing list, somebody calling themselves Satoshi Nakamoto sent out a note saying, "I have created a new version of electronic cash. I call it Bitcoin. This is what it looks like." And it was a nine-page paper describing what is today what we all call Bitcoin. The issue is that we don't know who that person really was. At the time, most people actually assumed it was somebody who was named Satoshi Nakamoto. They didn't think it was a pseudonym at all. But as it grew, as it became a larger thing, people started to realize that this person was not actually telling us who they were, and we don't know who they were. And then in 2010, the person just disappeared, stopped commenting publicly, stopped talking to developers, just was gone. And all that was left was one website that they registered and two email addresses that they registered. And if you've ever tried to figure out who created an email address or a website, you know that that information can be shielded from view, and it has been, and nobody's been able to figure out who registered that website, who created those email addresses, and there is nothing, not a single other thing conclusively to tie Satoshi Nakamoto to a real-world person.
So in 2016, an Australian man named Craig Wright claimed to be the mysterious Satoshi Nakamoto. Why do members of the Bitcoin community question his claim?
So Craig Wright comes out of sort of out of nowhere and makes this very big, bold, brassy claim that, yes, he is Satoshi Nakamoto. He orchestrates an entire PR campaign. He gives exclusive interviews for a couple of media outlets. He invites a couple of very prominent early Bitcoin people to come and see his evidence in private. And the whole thing was very suspicious to people in the Bitcoin community, and they started going through his store. I mean, look, this happens for every single person who either comes out and says, "I'm Satoshi Nakamoto," or when people sort of say, "I think this person is Satoshi Nakamoto," the case is just, it's basically tried out in the public. People are very skeptical about Satoshi Nakamoto claims. So when Craig Wright comes out and says, "Yes, I'm Satoshi Nakamoto," people were very critical of his claims, and they started combing through everything he was saying, all his evidence, and they did not think it added up.
So Satoshi Nakamoto is believed to have stashed around 1 million Bitcoin. And because Bitcoin uses these unique chains of numbers or private keys to establish who owns each one of them, one way to prove you're Satoshi Nakamoto would be to use that private key to move some of the stash around, right?
Yes. And it's not 100% proof. I mean, you know, you can steal a private key. You know, if you hold the key, you can move the Bitcoin. It wouldn't be on its own. Like if I moved, you know, like if somehow I came into possession of the private keys to Satoshi Nakamoto's fortune and I moved the Bitcoin, then yes, I've shown that I have possession of those Bitcoin. But if people asked me even probably five questions about how I created Bitcoin, it would become obvious very quickly that I didn't create Bitcoin.
Okay, so let's talk about this trial a little bit, because it's between Craig Wright and the family of his late business partner, David Kleiman, over whether or not they are Satoshi Nakamoto. So explain to us a little bit what's going on here. What are they arguing about?
So Craig Wright was friends with a Florida programmer named Dave Kleiman. And we don't exactly know what the nature of their partnership and relationship was. And that's what this trial is really trying to determine. Craig Wright, Dave Kleiman had a short-lived partnership where they were going to try to build some products together, some software products, and sell them. And it didn't go anywhere. And in 2013, Dave Kleiman dies. Then Craig Wright comes public with his claims of being Bitcoin's creator, being Satoshi Nakamoto. The family of Dave Kleiman says, "You know what? I think actually you guys work together on it. And if that's the case, well, then Craig, you owe Dave half of the Satoshi Nakamoto fortune. You didn't create Bitcoin on your own. You created it with Dave." Craig says, "That is bunk. Dave and I were friends. We did have a partnership. But, you know, we were working on some things together, but we were not working on Bitcoin together." So the lawsuit is really to determine what was the nature of their partnership and what did it involve? Did it involve the creation of Bitcoin?
So will it be up to a Florida jury ostensibly to prove that Craig Wright and possibly David Kleiman are Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes and no. I mean, the issue of Bitcoin's creation is part of this trial, but the trial itself is really just to determine whether or not Craig Wright and Dave Kleiman had a legal partnership. And then after that is determined by a jury, they will have to do a whole load of other discovery, I believe, to find out what the actual assets are, what Kleiman's family could be entitled to. However, within all of that, at some point, if I have to stress that, if Craig Wright created Bitcoin either on his own or with Dave Kleiman, at some point that should become part of what gets exposed in this whole process of trying to figure out what these guys were really up to.
So the mystery will probably continue after the case, but I wonder if the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto does come out, if it actually changes anything for the Bitcoin community.
Yeah, I think that, for one, it depends on who it is. Say, for instance, that Craig Wright is conclusively proven to have created Bitcoin, which he has been claiming for years, and the Bitcoin community just rejects him. I don't know what would happen, because the Bitcoin community, by and large, really doesn't like Craig Wright. There is a lot of divisiveness between him and most Bitcoiners. But putting aside the Craig Wright question, whoever created Bitcoin, we still don't know exactly why they did it. We still don't know exactly what their goals and angles were. We know that they wanted to create a version of cash in a digital environment. The Satoshi Nakamoto persona, one or two times he talked about central banks and the trust in that you had to put into the system. And, you know, he wanted to kind of make a trustless system. So we don't know exactly why Satoshi Nakamoto created Bitcoin. And if we did find out who Satoshi Nakamoto was, if this person did come back and did prove that they were really Bitcoin's creator and wanted to be involved again, I don't know. I don't know. It really depends on what they would want Bitcoin to do. Because now we're at a point where he really disappeared from the public in 2010. So Bitcoin has developed for a decade without this person. I don't know if this person ever came back. I don't know what the Bitcoin community would think of him or her or they. It really depends upon what they said. I don't think they would just be, you know, outright embraced and adopted. And if they said, you know, I want to change Bitcoin, people would say, oh, great. Well, you created Bitcoin. So yeah, you change it. That would not happen at this point.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. That's our cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schwiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.